Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from John 20, and we're going to be focusing specifically on verse 29. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we get to gather to hear your word, the word of good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit to work through this word so that our faith is strengthened, and may that faith overflow in lives of love toward everyone. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're continuing our series, Resurrection Encounters. As I mentioned before, this is where we meet the risen Lord in our everyday life, even though we cannot see him. And last week, on Easter Sunday, we encountered Jesus in the Word of Promise. And it was during my message that I mentioned that all too often we give into I have to see it to believe it kind of mentality. And I kind of listed a few things, you know, I have to see the results of clinical trials before I'm going to take a medicine. I've got to actually see a movie before I'm going to believe my friend that it's the best movie ever. I'm going to actually see whether a product benefits someone before I'm actually going to shell out my hard-earned cash, you know, to buy it. And it went on and on like that. But what if you are unable to see any of that? Would you still believe it? What if you never saw any of those clinical trial outcomes? Would you still believe that this medicine was good for you? What if you were never able to see that movie? Would you still believe your friend, "Oh, it's really good, just trust me on it"? What if you never actually saw the outcomes of a product helping someone? Would you actually still buy it? Well, as you reflect on this, as I reflected on it, in the end, you just have to take their word for it. You just have to take their word for it. Well, for our disciples here in our text, they were having a very difficult time taking word for it. And whose word were they having a difficult time with? Well, her name was Mary Magdalene. You see, Jesus had appeared to her on that first day of the week, alive, "I'm alive, and go tell the disciples that I'm alive." And she did that. She said, "I've seen the Lord." And even though two of them had hightailed it to the tomb, saw that the stone was rolled away, saw it was empty, and even saw the grave clothes just kind of lying there, folded there, they were having a hard time. Really? Is he really risen from the dead? Well, that evening, Jesus shows up, even though the doors are locked. He just shows up and shows himself alive. He shows them his hands. See, look at the nail holes, shows them his side. That's where my side was pierced. And he shows them that he's alive. But even further than that, he shows them what it all means. It means peace be with you. Real peace, true peace in your lives. It means a mission that they get to bring this good news of Jesus risen from the dead to all people. It means that they will receive the Holy Spirit. They're not going out alone. They're not going by themselves. They're going to actually receive God himself as the Holy Spirit to go out and do this. And it means that this good news of Jesus risen from the dead is forgiveness of sin or withholding it. All of the disciples, all of them get to experience this incredible evening, except one of them, Thomas. Where was Thomas that night? Well, I think he was out buying groceries, you know. I mean, you don't know how long you're going to be locked up in this room, right? So you better go to your local Jerusalem Costco and load up there, because we know how that feels, right? But then he comes back, and as he, you know, drops all the groceries and says, "Thanks a lot, guys, for helping me out here," they're rushing at him. "We have seen the Lord alive." And it's not like they're just, you know, pointing at Jesus standing there and then shoving Jesus right up into him and like lifting his hand like, "Look, look, look, he's alive, see?" But that's what Thomas actually wants. That's what he asks for. He says to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is not only doubting Thomas. This is not Thomas being a little skeptical of their news. No, there's a much deeper issue going on here for Thomas. You see, Thomas is looking to himself. He's looking to his own experience in order to believe and will not take their word for it. "Unless I see it, unless I experience it, unless I, you know, see it for myself, I will not believe." How often does that describe your faith? "Unless I see that God has answered my prayers the way I want him to, I will not believe that he cares for me. Unless I see that my life is smooth sailing as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I will not believe that God is all-powerful. Unless I see that following Christ in this life will give me some kind of reward and blessing in this life, well, then I won't believe that it is actually worth following Jesus. Unless I see some kind of spiritual progress, some kind of increasing morality, you know, more good works in my life, well, then I won't believe the Holy Spirit is actually working within me. Unless I feel good about things, unless I feel good inside, I'll never believe that my sin was actually forgiven. Unless I see all doubt purged from my life, I will not believe that the good news actually has any power." But inevitably, when your prayers are not answered the way you want them to, when life is rough, when following Jesus brings more trials and tribulations than rewards and blessings, when you fall into sin again, when your feelings do not match the reality that you're seeking and wanting, when doubt plagues your life, well, you and I get exactly that. "I will not believe." This was Thomas. This was the state that he was in that first night. Until a week later, and Jesus once again shows up and says, "Peace be with you." And Thomas is there, and now Jesus laser focuses on Thomas. And he says, "Thomas, go ahead. Put your finger into the holes of my hands. Put your hand on my side. Go ahead, do it." And Thomas cries out, "My Lord and my God," and everything is right with the world. All is looking up, everything is coming up roses, right? But I want to show you a famous painting to kind of put this moment in perspective. This is I'm going to mispronounce this, the incredulity of Thomas by artist Michael Caravaggio. And one thing you'll notice about this painting is that it is very real, very down to earth. You know, Jesus doesn't have like some fake halo over him, and Thomas is not falling down on his knees and, you know, mock worship, my Lord and my God. No, it's very real, very fleshy. And you can see that Thomas is actually putting his finger into the side of Jesus, and the other disciples are like, you know, looking on, wow, that's cool. But then you notice it. The most striking thing about this painting is that Jesus is actually grabbing Thomas's arm and guiding it into his side. And if you want to, Thomas is actually being pulled by Jesus into his side. In other words, Jesus is pulling Thomas outside of himself, outside of his experience, so that he is able to focus on Jesus outside of himself. And it is only then that Jesus says, "Don't become unbelieving, but believing." It is only then that Thomas cries out, "My Lord and my God." It is only then that Thomas encounters the risen Christ there. And Jesus does the same thing with you and me. It's kind of interesting that John says that Thomas is called the twin. Why here? Why does he call him that? I mean, it could be possible, you know, yesterday was Siblings Day, and so it could be possible that Thomas had a twin. But that's not what John's doing here. John is calling Thomas the twin because he is the twin of you and me. Those who have not actually seen the risen Christ with our own eyes. And yet Jesus declares that blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. And how? How are we able to believe? Well, John goes on. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. You see, our faith looks outside ourselves to the testimony of Scripture, and we encounter the risen Christ right there. Our faith trusts the testimony of the apostles who declare, we've seen the Lord. We saw him with our own eyes. We touched him. We put our fingers in the holes. We put our hand in the side. Take our word for it. And there Jesus is. But it goes even further than that. Our faith trusts the testimony that Jesus says, peace be with you. I'm giving you real peace. Not peace that the world promises, but the peace that comes from me alone. Peace that comes from having been reconciled by the Father by my death and resurrection. Our faith trusts the testimony that we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit within us, that Jesus breathes on us in our baptisms, giving us new life, giving us a new way of life, raising up a new creation that is being sent out into the world with good news. And what is that good news? Well, our faith trusts the testimony that our sin is forgiven fully and freely, not because of us, but because of what Jesus has done, dying and rising and leaving it behind in the empty tomb. You see, when our faith looks outside ourselves, outside our experience, we can believe, even if we cannot see. We can believe that Jesus cares for us, even if our prayers are not answered the way we had hoped they were. We can believe that Jesus is all-powerful in our lives, in the world, even if life gets rough for his followers. We can believe that we have an eternal reward, an inheritance in heaven that nothing can touch, even if we fail to get any kind of temporal reward or blessing in this life for following Christ. Yes, we can believe. We can believe that the Holy Spirit is still working within us, even if we stumble and fall and fail in doing something for Jesus. We can believe that God is good, that his gospel is powerful, even if life gets rough, even if we doubt, even if we're crying out, "I believe, help my unbelief." You see, even though, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are unable to see the risen Christ, we can still believe. We can take his word for it. Because that's when our faith encounters the risen Christ as if he was standing right in front of us, as if we can even put our fingers in the holes of his hands, place our hand in his side, as if we can cry out right then and right there, "My Lord and my God." Amen.